Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
High drive into right center field. That's where he was hitting them during batting practice tonight. And he has done it yet again. Aristides Aquino, a two-run big fly, his eighth in 11 games as a major leaguer.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
There's a ball hammered deep left center field. It is gone! It's gone, and the Indians have won it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I swear to the Lord, you got to put four fingers up when Torres comes to the plate. Because when he comes around third, it's too late.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Jason Swigard hanging out today. Dirt is out just for the day. He's got a personal matter to attend to, and he'll be back in tomorrow. But what's happening? What's going on today?
I'm just catching up. It's honestly, I spent all weekend out at Pumpkin following Scott Harrington around most of the time, and he finally got his PGA Tour card.
I saw that. That was a really cool story,
too. It was amazing.
Yeah. Real emotional. Waterworks going there on the 18th, yep. And nobody can blame him for that reaction.
So, hopefully he'll have some time to digest it, but he's got to – I don't know if he's going to end up – because while he secured his Tour card – he's still, these next three web.com finals things, he can improve where he ranks on the priority list.
Mm-hmm.
So there is incentive to get right back out. And the next tournament's in Columbus. So he was like, I don't know if he was planning on going, but all of his family was there with him. And obviously he's got to be able to collect his wits about him and focus back on it. But certainly a lot to play for. But yeah, that was a cool story.
You sounded like a coworker that watched Game of Thrones late, and so everybody was talking about Game of Thrones, and you just chime in, I'm trying to catch up. Just like, don't ruin this for me. I'm trying to still find out everything that's been going down for about 4 or 5 days. Did you happen to see the old number one pick for the Blazers go to prison yesterday, Sebastian Telfair?
I saw a headline briefly. I was done with Sebastian Telfair, well, basically shortly after I saw him play in a Blazer uniform. But so I haven't kept tabs on. I remember the gun in the pillowcase that was confiscated going from, I think it was from Boston into Canada, that somebody got that one. And I was like, okay, now I kind of know all I need to know about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of those like he did a whole lot for the franchise, so it's that big of a deal. But I'd known that he was dealing with some legal issue involving guns, because I think he's been doing two or three of them since he retired or basically axed out of the league. But he was such a big deal coming out of high school. I mean, he had a documentary made about
him. I remember there were all the rumors that there was a guarantee to take him, and something was in place with Adidas, I think, or something. And
yeah, because he didn't go to Louisville. He was going to go to Louisville and play for Rick Pitino, and then that fell through, which was probably the smart move for him because he couldn't shoot a jump shot to save his life, and they would have picked up on that in year one. His draft stock would have taken a hit. But yeah, as soon as he announced he was declaring for the draft, he got that huge Adidas deal, gave him a few million dollars. Most people believe the Blazers made a promise that they were going to take him, that he was going to be the point guard of the future. And I was jacked about that at that point because I had watched that documentary multiple times. He was on the cover of Slam Magazine, which I had a subscription to. him and LeBron, they were on one of the covers, The Takeover. These two guys are going to take over the league. And you kind of believed it, like without even really watching a game. I just assumed he was unbelievable and wasn't going to be stopped. And I would say it was the very first game I watched him play. It was clear, man, he couldn't shoot like at all. And I know Rondo has basically had a career where he can't shoot, but yeah, he didn't, you know, his quickness wasn't quite what it was in the NBA versus what we saw in the highlights coming from high school. And, you know, you took him in the first round, Portland did, and he wasn't here very long. But I thought that was that storyline. I was like, whoa, 3 years in prison to go from that story to then fast forward 16 years later, 15 years later, and now you're going to prison for 3 years. It's like, that's an individual that you just want to scream, you don't need a gun. You don't.
No.
You're rich. You live on the highest apartment. You've got security downstairs. Nobody's just walking through, going up the elevator and knocking on your door. But some guys, you know, they make dumb decisions. They grow up in a certain atmosphere and they think, this is what I have to do, versus some guys have rocky foundations and they'll come in and everything will be set for them. They'll have a perfect circumstance. So Telfair comes in, and who were his mentors on that Blazer team? Outlaw? Zeebo?
Yeah.
I think Rasheed might have still been here. It wasn't like...
Not exactly the citizen molders you're hoping
for. Yeah, this isn't like the committee of guys that you want leading a young, impressionable 18-year-old into the NBA.
No Dame and CJ on that team.
There was no Dame. Well, even Dame, you know, I think Dame would have still been Dame no matter the circumstance because of who he is and how emotionally mature he is.
I wonder if that led to some of the thoughts that we saw later on of the Blazers drafting a lot of four-year college guys.
Yeah, that might have been. It might have been something Olshay picked up throughout his journey from acting to the NBA to GM in the Clippers, et cetera. But, you know, you take a kid like Telfair, who, you know, clearly he was dealing with these kinds of things while in high school, but you're such a big-time athlete, nobody cares, and they give you a pass. You're not coming into that locker room with Rasheed and Zeebo and Outlaw, and people are embracing you and going, hey, let me teach you how to do things the right way in this league. Whereas I think, again, Dame ends up being Dame no matter what, but it's a bigger benefit for Dame to come in out of Weber State, relatively unknown. I mean, most people saw him in the mock drafts in the top 10, but relatively unknown player, and at least unproven on a certain level. And he walks in with LaMarcus, Wes, Nick, Rolo. Like, there were good, established veterans that you walk into, and it just helps it ease it that much more.
They were pros, and I think especially, but they all had a personality, and they all had a voice. I think that's the thing with Rolo and Wes, where you can be professional, you can come together as a team, and you can still be an individual. You know, LaMarcus was a bit recluse and, you know, didn't want to be the guy out front. Wesley Matthews had no problems sharing his thoughts. And whenever you got into a good, honest basketball conversation with him, he would sit down and keep going with you. There were a few times I was at practice covering and I got a question in and he started going on it, where it was a 5-10 minute conversation. He would really go. And then Lopez was just Rolo.
Yeah. I mean, like, LaMarcus wasn't a great interview, but all those guys, I think, of just being the mature adults in the room to go, we know what it means to be in this league and how to be in it the right way versus, and I'm not telling you that if Telfair comes in with a similar roster, what Dame had, he's different. I do think there's a part of these people that it's just kind of in them and it never goes away. But coming into a situation where you probably had this and people didn't talk about it, and it would have been nice to have that mentorship, that leadership in a locker room instead of a guy, a group full of immature, selfish individuals that were on the roster when he got in the league. So I saw that yesterday. And again, it's not like he really did all that much for the team, but I still, like, my eyebrows raised, like, Sebastian Telfair is going to go to prison for 3 years. That still is like, whoa, because of everything we saw going into the NBA. But it's sad that it gets to that point. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080, The Fan.
All right, what's on tap? Brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. No dirt, but man, we got a loaded show today. We'll get to this Hard Knocks rumor that just came out this morning and talk about that storyline. If you miss it, I'll tell you what that's about. Our stop on the Daily Ticker is going to be to Seattle. The number 9 team in the country, according to Andy Johnson, is the Washington Huskies on the top 25 dirty poll. So we'll talk with their color analyst, UW's former quarterback Damon Heward will join us at 12:30. I feel like UW is kind of coming in, maybe not with their fan base. It feels like there's not an expectation with them the way that there is a lot of other consistently winning programs in college football. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. Mike Richmond's going to join us at 1 o'clock. Of NBC Sports Northwest. He also hosts the podcast Locked On Blazers on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we'll get his thoughts on the Blazers' schedule change, their national games, the tip times from 7:45 to 7 o'clock, the NBA trying to keep everybody awake for these games. Do want to dive into the transfer portal a little bit. Two quarterbacks that went into the portal, found new programs. Maybe both of them not going to be the starters at those programs, and that's is very interesting, I think, for the future of the transfer portal. We got NFL True or False at 1:30. Ryan Divish covers the Mariners for the Seattle Times. He inspired this segment last night because I just saw this tweet and I kept thinking and thinking and thinking. Which athlete deserved better circumstances around him all time? What's the athlete? His point was he watched a lot of games where Felix was amazing.
Oh, and he got no run support.
Never got the run support.
Who got the least help?
And now Mariner fans, not all of them, but there's a small segment of them that are kind of trashing Felix and just like, man, go away, Felix Hernandez.
No. Well,
and Divish's point is basically like I get it. He's not amazing anymore, but
give the guy a little respect.
Yeah, he played amazingly for a decade.
Yep.
And so I just kept going through different players and athletes that I thought, oh, I wish that team was better. Oh, I wish this guy would have had a better shot. So we may dive into that at crunch time. George Schroeder writes for USA Today, covers college football, used to be at the Register Guard. He wrote a good piece on Chip Kelly. Year two in Westwood with Chip Kelly and what the expectations should be for them. And my question to listeners and to everybody today is Chip Kelly still a great coach in your mind? I'll put a poll question up this on the show page at Dirt and Sprague. We'll talk with George Schroeder at 2 o'clock about that. I've got a dad interviewing a boyfriend of his daughters, and it's not a traditional interview, and we'll play that for you. Andrew Nimick's going to join us at 2:30 because the Oregon Ducks got a big recruit today. Five-star player in Folly Dante has recruited to the Oregon Ducks. Duck fans were getting a little concerned with Dana Altman and that crew, like who's going to be our starting lineup? I don't know if they have to worry about that anymore. They got a five-star kid today, so Andrew Nimick will join us at 2:30. And may have to talk about Gleyber Torres, who is torching Baltimore this year. So we got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Brandon Sprague, and at Fan Swag. We'll start Hard Knocks in college football. Does that interest you? And there's two teams in the Pac-12 that are going to be featured. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Tuesday on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:16 on The Fan. We've got Damon Heward, color analyst for the Huskies. They're our number 9 team on the top 25 dirty poll, so we'll talk with Damon Heward. It's going to be another 10-win season for Chris Peterson and company. And how fans are feeling about having 10 wins, but then also still wanting a little more to get over that hump, to get to the playoff, to win a playoff game, and so forth. So Damon Heward's going to join us coming up here at 12:30 for the Daily Ticker. I saw this morning. I thought this was very interesting. And by the way, it's about time that this happens. Reportedly, HBO is not just diving into the Oakland Raiders for Hard Knocks. Reportedly, they are going to attempt to do this in college this year. So they're going to pick a select few teams, and every week it's a new team. Now, I love this idea. Hard Knocks is tonight. I'm actually jacked to watch it because I want to see the Antonio Brown saga, see what Gruden has to say about that, see if it's as corny as the first episode kind of was of playing on the nostalgia of being an Oakland Raider. I love Hard Knocks. I love all of the shows, the Amazon one, I love the shows that give you the access. And even though it's edited and they take out the stuff that they don't want you to really see, you still get great glimpses and hear great conversations. A really famous one was just last year when Cleveland was doing it. And you had Hugh Jackson was the head coach. You had Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator. They had that that part in one of the episodes where they're sitting in the coach's room and they're talking about their offense. And Haley has this opinion. And basically Hugh counters it and goes, "I'm the coach. It's my decision. I'm going to do what we want." And it was just an awkward tension between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson. And you kind of thought, I don't know if this is going to be a long-term relationship. It didn't even get through the season. So stuff like that, they could have edited that out, by the way. And Hugh Jackson saw it, and he's like, yeah, you just leave that in. He didn't think it was a big deal. But clearly it was, because it built up a little bit, and it stuck with Todd Haley, and I think that's how the relationship got ruined. So it's edited, sure, but you're still seeing really good stuff and getting that insight. And I love the coaching angle as well. Well, they're going to roll out College Football Edition of Hard Knocks, and I'm really curious how this is going to go. So this is according to Devil's Digest, I think, where everybody saw this news on Twitter. They tweeted, HBO has chosen four college programs to run a Hard Knocks-like show later in the season. ASU is going to be featured during the week of the home game versus Washington State, who was also chosen for the show, along with Penn State and Alabama. So your four teams are Arizona State, Wazoo, Penn State, Alabama, and it's going to be a four-week journey on Hard Knocks College Edition. Now, I think you could come up with other good names. I don't think you can come up with two better names made for this show and television, like Herm Edwards and Mike Leach. I mean, Nick Saban, okay, fine. It's Nick Saban, I get it. I'm still really going to be jacked to watch the Alabama one. James Franklin, we'll see how that one goes. He seems like a very energetic, upbeat, yelling rah-rah guy. Maybe he'll be really good. But Mike Leach in front of a TV screen at practice, probably not knowing half the players on his team's roster's names. Hey, number 30, why don't you come over here? Herm Edwards, I think these two, they might have hit a home run here on two of the four were absolute, no doubts, the best options to have on TV.
Oh, no question. I think I guess James Franklin is a little, I think we've seen
he's
enough
got,
as
he's
Saban.
He's got good energy. He's got,
yeah,
good,
he's
energy.
Got good energy. I wonder, I mean, maybe Bama just to sell it because you want that. I think we've all seen enough of Nick Saban. ESPN College Football has done so many of their, when they're there for game day for a big one, the Iron Bowl or LSU or whatever, they get all this inside stuff. And Nick's so polished now when the camera is around, I don't think you get anything.
That's what I'm afraid
of. I would have rather seen him go find the mullet with Gundy at Oklahoma State and follow him around for a week.
Okay.
To see how much of him is, you know, showing, playing to the camera versus what he's really like. And is he kind of like that all the time, or is he, you know, a little bit more buttoned down when you get into practice?
He's a man. He's 52.
Is he 52 now?
Isn't that crazy? Wow, that's been crazy. Like 12 years.
12 years since that quote.
Gundy's a really good one. We had a listener tweet us Les Miles and Lane Kiffin.
Miles at Kansas would be pretty interesting.
Only problem with that, in my opinion, and maybe Les will surprise everybody at Kansas, there's a chance Kansas absolutely blows.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know how interesting that really is, because Les is funny in the Dr. Pepper commercials, the eating the grass thing. Yeah. But let's say at this point when they start filming this, Kansas is 1-7.
Yeah.
Are we interested in Les Miles in Kansas?
Give him a chance to see if he can establish some things there and maybe get some excitement back. And
the Lane train would be good, because he's kind of set in there at FAU. And hearing him talk, because he's a pretty honest guy. Like
the one guy I don't want to see ever at all is PJ Fleck. Whatever, resist the temptation. Do not go to Minnesota. We know about rowing the boat.
We don't want to row the boat anymore.
No, no.
We rowed enough boats at, where was he? Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Or something like Eastern Michigan.
One of the Michigans. West. I think it was either Western or Central.
Yeah. So I think two of the four are home runs. Franklin might be like on that fence of he could be really good or it could just be cliche. And then I think you're spot on Saban. Like, I get Alabama. I understand Tua. They have Judy there. Like, they have some really exciting young talent and coaches, but I don't know if that's where I would want to go with them. I'm just...
What about Harbaugh? Would you want to... Or do you feel like you've seen enough of him?
I think he's in that Saban realm. I think I know what I'm going to get with Jim Harbaugh. And I like to highlight other big name guys that maybe don't get as much. Like, I would be personally, I'd be fascinated to just watch practice with Lincoln Riley. He's done interviews. He's doing this ESPN stuff. There's a lot of expectation. He's gotten to the playoff two straight years. But I want to watch what he's like as a coach. I love watching the guys operate in the element. Like, some of my favorite things to watch, you get these clips on social media all the time from the NFL, and sometimes you see them on the NFL Network when they play old school stuff, but you'll see these clips. I saw one the other day. Chad Ochocinco was in Cincinnati still, so he's still Chad Johnson, and they're in New England for, I can't tell if it's a preseason game or an early season game, but the weather's really nice, and he's up midfield, and Belichick comes over and says, "Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?" He's like, "I admire your game. I respect you so much." And he goes, "We're double covering you tonight, though." And Chad Johnson is like thrown off, and he goes, "Wait, you being serious?" And he's like, "Yeah, we're not going to let you beat us. You're too good." And he goes, "Coach, you can't do that to me." He's like, "Well, I'll talk to you a little bit later on. Good luck tonight." And Belichick walks out of the screen, and the camera stays on Chad Johnson, and he goes.
He's just messed up now.
He's like, "Damn, man." He didn't want to get double teamed. So that stuff, you know, it doesn't do it for everybody. I, as a guy who never is going to have that access, never a coach, never going to be a player, obviously, I love watching the interactions. I don't care how just mundane they are. Sometimes you get exciting, funny things. But even, you know, that stuff, I love behind the scenes. I think that's why we all love these shows and why we watch them, is we want the access. We want more. And I'm going to maintain my point. I'm maintaining the opinion that somebody needs to just sack up, and they need to allow waiver forms digitally and give us games where we can watch them and we can't sue. We can't be outraged. We can't be offended. I want to hear mics on the coaches and the players. If you want to blank out play calls, 100% agree
on
that.
Yeah, that's the part that they would have to figure out how to do, is not to give any proprietary team schematic information.
Yes, but if you could somehow navigate it.
The language
it,
and the trash talking and
care.
All that.
Don't care.
No.
Yeah, don't care at all. I'm not a guy that gets easily offended, though, so other people out there listening, maybe it's not yours. But I just think they continue to grow this type of TV, and it's already been proven throughout decades. We love reality television. Survivor comes on our screen, everybody's watching. The Kardashians, everybody says they hate them. They're still on TV for like 16, 17 straight years getting great ratings. So we can talk and act like we don't care, and some people really mean that. But for the most part, we love reality television. You add sports to it, I am 1,000,000% in. So I saw this morning from Devil's Digest. This is awesome. They are reporting that HBO is going to do a college version. It's not going to be as long, but a college version of Hard Knocks. And the four schools they're going to, if you're just tuning in, are Alabama, Penn State, Washington State, and ASU. So it looks like they really thought about who they were targeting entertainment-wise.
Yeah.
And it also seems like, let's put some powerhouses on here. You go with Alabama. Everybody's still going to watch, even though Saban is kind of cheesy and predictable and a certain type around the camera. And you also go Penn State, who's an interesting Big Ten team this year as well, because everybody's talking about Michigan. Nobody's really giving Penn State a chance to win the Big Ten now that Urban's gone.
They're a year too late on Washington State, because had they gotten with Gardner Minshew,
oh,
it would have been a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah, that would have been a pretty good one. Also would have been a...
I don't know about Gabe. I don't know much about Gabe Gabrood yet.
Gage Gabrood. Maybe ends up being pretty good. But I'm just looking forward to Leach on TV, because he's a fascinating character. All right, coming up next, let's make our stop on the Daily Ticker. We've been doing our top 25 Dirty Pole countdown into the first game of the season between Miami and Florida. And number 9 is the Washington Huskies. Dirt thinks they're the 9th best team in college football preseason-wise. So we'll see what the expectation is in Montlake with the Washington Huskies coming off a Rose Bowl appearance, a 10-win season, and a Pac-12 title. We'll talk with Damon Heward. He's the color analyst on the radio network. He'll join us coming up next for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Portland sports leader, home of the Oregon Ducks. College football season is upon us, and we continue on with our top 25 countdown, with Dirt's top 25 dirty poll. And he's got the Washington Huskies in at number 9. They're returning just 2 players on defense, but a lot of people are excited about what they could potentially do this season on offense with 7 players returning. So to break down the Husky season, we talk with former Husky himself, color analyst now on the radio network, Damon Heuer. Damon, thanks so much for joining us, man, here in Portland. We always appreciate the time. 6th year for Chris Peterson at UW and a pretty big one. What are we thinking right now in terms of expectations for Washington Husky fan, given what they did last season getting to the Rose Bowl?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the expectations are high. I mean, and that's a good thing. You know, back to back to back New Year's 6 bowl games, Pac-12 champs 2 of the last 3 years. You know, Coach Pete has this program rolling right now. Obviously, the big question mark is, can they win that big game on the big stage? That's the next thing that needs to get done to take that next step. But, you know, we've recruited well. And despite losing 9 starters on defense and a 4-year starting quarterback and running back, you know, again, these expectations are high. So, it's going to be an interesting team, a lot of new faces. But I'm excited. You know, watching practice, I've been out to most of them here during training camp, and there's a lot of talent, a lot of youth, and it makes for a great season. I think, you know, the schedule sets up well at home for sure. You know, we get the Ducks and the Cougs and the Trojans and Utah all here at Husky Stadium, where we haven't lost in a couple of years. So, you know, a lot of new faces, but it's going to be fun, and I'm excited to see what happens here in 2019.
Yeah, the scheduling gods kind of helped you guys out. I know it's back-to-back, but you play Oregon at home, and then you get the bye week, and then Utah comes to town. So 2 tough games, but at least there's a bye week in between that to rest people up. You know, other thing I was thinking about, too, is I saw this stat, Chris Peterson, the first coach in UW history to have 3 straight seasons of winning 10 games. I thought that was a wrong stat. I was like, Don James has done this before. So I go back and I look, I couldn't find it. It turns out that's a real stat. College football is weird. And what I mean by that is he has had a lot of success since he joined into Washington and came to Seattle from Boise. But is there any part of it where we lose perspective here, where they're winning 10 games, they're getting to a Rose Bowl, and sure, it's not a national championship, but sometimes in college football, you win and you win, sometimes you don't win enough, and the fans can become a little restless. Do you think that the season where they didn't win any games in 07, Damon, do you think that may have helped Husky fan be a little more patient or at least appreciate 10-win seasons, whether they're in the playoff or not?
I think our fans appreciate it for sure. But obviously, it just seems like the narrative around the country is college football playoffs, the college football playoffs, the CFP. And it's like, you know, what are they going to have to do to get to the CFP? And to your point, like, you know, we made it back to the Rose Bowl last year. That was a lot of fun for Husky Nation. It had been almost 20 years since we had been there. So, you know, I get it. Certainly, I want to win that, like I said, the big game on the big stage and win a national championship, and that's everybody's goal. But yeah, let's stop and smell the roses for a minute here. this is a pretty doggone good era of Husky football.
Yeah,
and it's going to continue with Coach Pete at the helm and the way we've recruited and just the culture and, you know, are you gonna win 14 games? I don't know. That's so hard to do. You got to have good fortune and stay healthy and, you know, maybe win that game on the road you're not supposed to. And so, yeah, I mean, but boy, I would say the majority of Husky fans are certainly pleased. Yeah, I'd like to win that Rose Bowl or Fiesta Bowl or CFP, but, you know, and we'll get there. I really believe that with the way we're recruiting and the way this thing's building and setting up. But it's a great era of Husky football under Coach Peterson for sure.
Yeah, we're doing our top 25 preview countdown leading into Miami in Florida, the first game in college football this season. So number 9 is Washington. Dirt has them at number 9 in the top 10. We're talking with Damon Heuer, color analyst for the Husky Radio Network, former Husky himself. The quarterback position is obviously one a lot of people are curious about. I don't believe there's been officially a named starter yet, but most are assuming it's Jacob Eason. What have you seen from Eason? Maybe some glimpses in practice, and do you think it's a done deal that he is the starter, but Coach Pete likes the competition?
No, I don't think it's a done deal at all. I mean, you come out here and you watch practice. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
Wow.
You know, it's what we paid Coach Pete the big money to do, and he's obviously, you know, coached offense and college football for a long time, and it's a tough call. It's super competitive. You know, Jake Haener has a rifle of an arm. Sure, he's, you know, a hair under 6 feet tall, but he's got the kind of big Russell Wilson hands, and he can fire a football for sure. And, you know, he's been in the system. He's the number two guy, so he's got a really good feel. But then there's flashes of Jacob Eason where, you know, I've never seen a Husky quarterback make a throw like that. So, you know, it's been great competition, and I'm sure Coach Pete will get it right. And I don't know when that decision is going to be made or if it's going to be made publicly. But, you know, they're both great players. They both can win football games for us. And like I said, it's going to be a tough decision for Coach Peterson.
Yeah, I think that's the toughest part, right, is do you take the experience? And none of the kids been out a year, but Eason has the experience. He's played big-time college football, whereas, you know, you mentioned Jake Haener, and look, he is short, but you mentioned the big hands. He's making plays that you don't see very often. You could kind of look at it two ways, it feels like. You go Eason, and maybe immediately they're able to establish themselves and get on the winning track and have another great 10-win season, versus if you go Haener, he's a sophomore. He's young. Maybe he takes his lumps early. Maybe you lose a game you shouldn't. That decision for Chris Peterson's got to be brutal, because one is more so it feels like the future move versus taking the immediate success.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Again, you know, Jacob Eason hasn't played in like almost 2.5-3 years. You know, you're right. He played at the, you know, one of the best conferences in college football in the SEC as a freshman and won some games and all that. But he's been out for quite a while now, 2.5 years, really. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if it's so much, you know, you play Haener and you're building for the future. I always say at the highest level of Division I college football, the future is now. You're going to win football games now. Coach Pete's going to play whoever he thinks is going to give him the best chance to win, you know, August 31st against Eastern Washington. So, you know, and we'll see. We'll see who that is. Both players have done some good things in practice, and they make some mistakes, and they're talented kids, and it's a tough call, despite, you know, Eason's experience that freshman year.
Absolutely. Damon Heward is our guest here to preview the Washington Huskies, our number 9 team in our top 25 dirty poll. I saw a tweet, Damon, from Joel Klatt of Fox Sports, and he did one of these fun tweets of naming the best player in every conference, just the overall best player. I know that's a tough thing to do in football, but he listed Laviska Shenault from Colorado for the Pac-12, and while Laviska Shenault was amazing when he was healthy last year at Colorado's start at 5-0, and nobody would argue how great of a playmaker he is, I think there's one that kind of goes under the radar a little bit that's really going to emerge, and that's the running back for the Washington Huskies, and Savon Ahmed. I thought he showed really good glimpses last year, and I think as great as Miles Gaskin was last season, it allowed him to get those reps, get that experience, and coming into this year, I have a certain expectation for him. I do expect the kid to just be huge and to kind of blow up a little bit with the start of their season. Eastern, you get Cal Week 2, Hawaii, BYU. I mean, your first four games, Huskies could be 4-0, and we could be looking at Ahmed with the leading rusher in the Pac-12 at that point. What do you make of him coming into the season, given what he built on from last year?
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't Joel a Buffalo?
He was a Buffalo. Yeah, that's a
okay,
very good
there
point.
You go. No, just kidding. Anyway, Savon Ahmed, you know, one of the fastest guys in the Pac-12 conference, a guy who, you know, obviously backed up Miles Gaskin and had some great moments last year. He is a talented kid. He's put some weight on. He looks great in camp. He's kind of a do-it-all multi-purpose back, you know. We like to get him out in space on the swing routes, screens, fly sweeps, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I do expect a big season from Savon. He's definitely going to get more touches and carries with Miles moving on. So, yeah, he's a talented kid, and certainly has an opportunity that first month, like you said, to put up some big numbers. Now, I'll say this. Cal coming in here week 2, And I'd say that's one of the top 10 defenses in America. So we're going to be tested right away. You know, they shut us down a year ago with all the returning experience we had and beat us there in Berkeley. So now that's going to be a really, really big challenge for the Dogs week two. But, yeah, we should get that running game going, hopefully week one, and build into that with Hawaii. And BYU on the road, always a tough place to play. But Savon is a talent, and I look for big things from him this season.
Should we be a little more concerned or questioning maybe the defense and what they will potentially be? They do only return two guys, but you got a lot of guys that are going to start that have experience in their history there at UW. It seems like it's a plug-and-play situation because, as you mentioned, they're recruiting at a high level. And we had a year where they came in, I think they had four guys returning, and that was the surprise year where UW came out and had a tremendous season. Their defense, they didn't miss a beat. Do you think maybe we're underrating what they will be defensively, or should we be a little concerned given you're only having two returning starters?
I think this is going to be a really, really good defense. You know, the only position we're a little thin at is linebacker as far as experience. Now, we do have a couple of seniors that will probably start there, Brandon Wellington, Kyler Manu. Brandon's a talented kid. He's battled some injuries over the course of his career. Kyler, a fifth-year senior, has been a backup, but now it's his turn. The defensive line, yeah, you lose Greg Gaines, Shane Bowman, and some of those guys, but Levi Onwuzurike played a lot of football for us. So was Ryan Bowman. Joe Tryon's a kid who came on strong last year, big, long, athletic defensive end we really like. And so, you know, and the back end of this defense, it is not rebuilt. It is completely reload. And Jimmy Lake and his staff, they really do a good job of playing guys in meaningful situations over the course of the game, even when they're young. You know, they'd always put the backup number two linebackers in there on the third series of games. You know, for experience, for situations like this, you come into a year where, you know, you graduate a lot of guys. But I expect this defense to just pick up where it's left off, despite losing nine starters. I know that sounds crazy, but Keith Taylor, Elijah Molden, Miles Bryant, the back end of this defense has just been outstanding in camp, and they're so coached up. They're so fundamentally sound. They're very competitive. They all got great ball skills. You know, we just a lot of returning talent that maybe doesn't have quite the experience. Just really good football players. It's now their turn to play.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get you out of here on this one, Damon. What is your overall feel? I know you work for the team. You're a Husky at heart. Yeah. Your kid's committed to it, and that's great. What do you feel like this team is this season in terms of where they may end up?
Yeah, you know, I think this team certainly has a chance to win 10 games for sure. That schedule, as I mentioned earlier, sets up really nice. We've been so good at home. Husky Stadium is a very tough place for opponents to come in and have success. And, you know, I obviously the non-conference schedule is pretty favorable. You got Eastern Hawaii. At BYU will certainly be a tough game. But there's no reason to believe that this team can't win 10 games despite the, a new quarterback and running back and replacing some starters on defense. I just think there's just a lot of momentum and a lot of talent within this program, and I expect the Dogs to have a great year here in 2019.
You think he goes Eason or Hayner?
Oh, you're killing me, man. I'm over 101, and I can't answer it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to say, how about this? It'll be Jake.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thanks for that. You helped me out a lot on that one. Now I'm going to run away, and I know exactly who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Huskies. Damon Ewer, color analyst here on their radio network, joining us to preview the Huskies, who come in at number 9 on our top 25 countdown to college football. Damon, we always appreciate the time you give us here in Portland, and we look forward to catching up with you coming up this season.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
All right, there we go. Damon Heward also runs a wine company as well. So he's got a good little life there. His kid's committed to UW. But there's the lowdown on the number 9 Washington Huskies. He thinks they can get back to 10 wins and potentially winning the conference yet again. I do want to talk about them coming up next. It feels like they're kind of flying under the radar. That may seem ridiculous, but when you read about all these teams throughout the country in college football, I'm not reading a whole lot about Washington. I wonder why that is. We'll talk about it next on The Fan. All right, Mike Richmond's going to join us coming up here at the top of the hour to talk a little bit about the Blazers' schedule that was released yesterday. And I want to pick his brain on the Sebastian Telfair stuff and the landscape in the West. Maybe one of our last stops for a few weeks, and then camp will open, and the Blazers will be right back in our lives. But we just talking with Damon Heward for the Daily Ticker on what to expect from the number 9 team on our top 25 dirty poll, the Huskies. They win 10 games for 3 straight years. They went to the Rose Bowl last year, and they lost to Ohio State. They were getting thumped in that one. But another Pac-12 title for Chris Peterson in Seattle. Look, when he came to Seattle from Boise, I wasn't shocked at all that he was able to win in the first few years. I know the first year didn't go exactly how he wanted, and then they won. They started winning after that. But or was it the second year, Swagger? Was it the first year he won, and then they went 7-5 or 8-4? I'll bring up the Football Reference, but I'm not shocked that he has established this in Seattle is my point. Not surprised at all.
No.
We saw him win at Boise State, and a lot of people were like, well, it's Boise. Come win in the Pac-12. Yeah, I didn't have any concerns about that. He is a great football coach. But they have to take that next step. Now, I don't know if not taking the next step has hurt this at all, but I feel like I've been reading a lot of college football stuff. All these pieces on Big Ten teams, Big 12 teams, SEC, ACC, hell, Pac-12 with USC and what they're going to be, and Oregon and what their expectations will be this year with Justin Herbert back in year two of Mario Cristobal. There's a sense that I'm getting that while Husky fan and most Pac-12 fans probably expect UW to be really stinking good, if not be right back in the position they were last year, there's still a sense I'm getting that they're kind of flying a little under the radar here. Now, two guys coming back on defense, you see that, and most programs start screaming and pulling their hair out because they might take a huge step back. Defensively, though, I think he just recruits the right kids. He gets the right players for his system. And you heard it from Damon here. Jimmy Lake is one of the better defensive minds we have in college football, which is why Nick Saban wanted to poach him away from Seattle. I don't think they're going to have any problems defensively. So a lot of these kids got playing time last year. You're just plugging in. It's not a rebuild. It's just a restocking of talent there. You already had it. You're just putting it at the front of the shelf. Their offense, as crazy as it may seem, and I can't believe I'm saying this about a Chris Peterson team, though, their offense seems to be the concern. Now, against run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-pack teams, they're good. They're really good. But when you play some of these bigger opponents, hell, even the Oregon game last year, yeah, that game didn't go quite how we thought it would score-wise, but they still struggled in large part to move the ball, and that was concerning because they had a senior quarterback. Now, this year, it's Jacob Eason or it's Jake Haener. I think they're going to go with Eason. I was listening to Seattle Sports Radio after our Seahawks show, and the sense you get is, yeah, they haven't announced, but ultimately Jacob Eason's going to be the starter. I think UW has a real chance with their schedule. You get Oregon at home, you get Utah at home, you get Washington State at home. You'll figure out Stanford. You've had some back and forth with them. But overall, I look at their schedule, and I think there's a real shot. If it's Eason and he's good to go, that UW is right back in it and maybe playing potentially against Oregon or Washington State. They're playing for a chance to go through an undefeated season and get to the Pac-12 title game yet again.
Yeah, I think the curious thing, and maybe what's holding him back, is, as you mentioned, a lot of people thought when he went to Washington, obviously they knew he was going to have more and better athletes to choose to recruit to there and that sort of thing. But I think there was the thought that the offense would still be as creative and wide open as all the goofy stuff they saw at Boise State, some of which they had to do out of necessity to when they went and played teams that were bigger, faster, stronger, and deeper from Power 5 schools.
Try to even it out a little bit, the element of surprise.
But obviously, then when you go get those 6'7", 325-pound left tackles, football coaches would like to let them be dominant, and they can be dominant when you run the football. So you don't have to do double reverse flea flickers and Statue of Liberty plays and all of those things. So I think there's a little hesitation there. Also, wondering if they did not develop Jake Locker.
You mean Jake Browning?
Jake Browning, yeah. The way that with his skill set coming in, they never fully developed him.
Okay, that's interesting you say. You really think they maybe didn't develop him fully versus he might have just had limitations?
That's the key. But I think if you're seeing why aren't all of the pundits and the preseason rankings more, you know, giving Washington more respect, I think maybe they have that in the back of their mind. Like, I was expecting this Washington offense to be wide open, putting up 50 points a game.
Yeah. I think Ahmed is going to lead the conference in rushing this year. There's one opinion I'll give you on what I think UW is capable of. He's a really good player, and I think you learn from a guy like Miles Gaskin. They're kind of built similarly, and he's got that next burst speed. The scary part about Washington, and it may not be this year. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's 3 years from now. The scariest part, in my opinion, about Washington is the minute they find a quarterback, I think the conference is done. I think they find a, I'm talking like a really good, I know Browning's the winningest college football quarterback in their history. I'm talking about a kid, not quite Trevor Lawrence, because I don't know if UW's ever going to get that kind of player, but like just a notch below a Trevor Lawrence, a really stinking good quarterback with the right coaching, which you clearly have in Chris Peterson. I think UW would have a real chance at that point to get to the national title. They may not be a playoff team this year, but I'm not sure any team in the Pac-12 is.
I think there's also still some question, and this is cumulative maybe over the last couple of years. Can you really replace all that talent on defense that is made its way to the NFL? Is there a point at which it's like, man, they were loaded 2 years
much.
Ago. That's
right.
Too much to ask a program to continue to have guys that are going to be, you know, 1 or 2 day draft selections in the NFL.
I think they're sitting pretty. Not a lot of people are talking about them as much as they did a year or two ago. They lost that Oregon game, so people are picking Oregon to win the North in the media. They're hosting Oregon. They're hosting Utah. They get a bye in between. They get the Cougars at home. Not that the Cougars have been a thorn in their side, but the Cougars could be a good team again, and that's going to help with the resume. Their non-conference is kind of crappy. Hawaii, BYU, and I don't know, Eastern, whoever.
Yeah, they open with Eastern Washington, Hawaii, and they have to go to BYU.
Maybe at BYU ends up being an okay, you know, non-conference opponent. But
yeah, Utah opens up with BYU. So if Utah goes in and shows them the back of their hand, then Washington better follow in kind.
Should be able to do the same thing. I just think it's a great position for UW to be in, is go in there having won 10 games, 3 straight years, go on to a Rose Bowl. They have to take that next step, and maybe that's why the expectations are not there with them quite like they should be, given the success that they've had within the conference. Okay, coming up next, hour number 2, a lot to get to, and we're going to start by talking a little Trailblazers with our good friend Mike Richmond of NBC Sports Northwest, also the host of the Locked On Blazers podcast. Mike Richmond kicks off hour number 2. Dirt and Sprague, back with more on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.